Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's good to be here once more this morning. Thank God for what He's doing in all the services. And, you know, God has a way of working. He knows what we need and when we need it. You know, I've been, you know, trying my best to open my heart in all the preachings, all the services. You know, I came to minister, but I've been ministered to greatly. You know, and I really appreciate God for that. God has met my needs in certain ways that, I mean, some I wasn't even expecting, but God knew what I needed, and God has met me in mighty ways, and I thank Him. I give Him praise this morning. There is something I want us to look at this morning, really briefly. And if I succeed in doing that, then I've done what I think God wanted me to do today. How many of us know the song, Abraham's Blessings Are Mine? Okay, how many of us know our connection with Abraham? You know, most of us see Abraham as the father of our faith, right? How many of us know how we really connect with Abraham? Based on the Bible. So I want us to look at Abraham today. Look at the man Abraham and his faith in God and how we relate with him based on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter 12. From verse 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your abundant mercy. We thank you for giving us the opportunity, O God, to hear from you. We present our hearts this morning. We pray that you speak to us. Let your word bring life and understanding to our hearts. Lord, open our eyes and take us from one spot to another in our walk with you. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God says God called Abraham. All of us know Abraham was not a Jew from the beginning. God called him from a country that was full of idolatry. They're worshiping idols. He was not a Christian. God called him to get out of his nation, out of where he was living, to a place that God was going to show him. Take note of what the Lord said, to a place that I will show thee. God never told him anything specific. God didn't tell him where he was going. God didn't give him the name of the country. God said, to a place that I will show thee. Think about it for a moment. God said, leave your family. Leave all. Abraham was not a little boy. He was a man. He certainly had possessions, had a family, had a wife. He had settled down and living his life. And God said to him, leave everything that you are used to. Leave the place that you have established and go to another place that I will show you. And God didn't show him anything. So if God came to you today and said, okay, leave your house, leave this state, leave this country, and go to another country that I will show you, and didn't tell you the name, what are you going to do? But the Bible says Abraham left his country and started going, obeying the voice of God. You know, if we're going to really be true to our commitment to the Lord, we obey God at times without really understanding what He's saying. He would do it because God said it, not because it looks right in your eyes or in the eyes of your friends or others around you. You would do it because God has said so. What God said to Abraham didn't make any sense in our understanding. Leave your country and go to a land that I will show you. You know, we read that in passing and really don't pay attention to that. And the man left, packed everything, and started going. He didn't really know where he was going. He was just going because God said so. That tells me about the strength of his faith in God. I don't know what happened in between, whether he got, you know, when he got saved, when he built his relationship with the Lord, but that tells me how strong his faith was with God at this time. Because you believing in God, there are times where your faith is going to be tried and tested. It happens. Maybe it hasn't happened to you yet, but it happens often enough. There are things that are going to come your way that are going to try your commitment to the Lord. Test it to see how grounded and how strong your faith is in the Lord. If you're just saying it or you're actually doing it. All what I'm telling you today or this week in these services, some of them, I preached them or taught them and I was tested after that. And some of them I know I haven't been tested, but I know after this I'm going to be tested to see if what I told you I really believe. I know it. So it's not just in the professing. Christianity is not just in the talking. It's in the living and doing. You can say all what you want to say and please people, but know for sure that the time will come for you to prove it. James said, faith without works is dead. Say whatever you want to say. The time of testing is coming to prove how strong your commitment is to the Lord. And if you truly believe and trust in God the way you tell people, it's going to happen. Abraham, leave everything you're used to. Leave everything you're familiar with. Abraham didn't ask God, where am I going? He didn't say anything. He didn't ask Him, Lord, where are You taking me to? Nothing like that recorded in Scripture. He obeyed the voice of God. Trusted Him. And he left and started going. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. That Abraham went not knowing where he was going. He really didn't know where he was going. He just left because God said it. And he moved. And you see, you know, you understand from that he didn't just hear God once. Because just walking, he was being led by the Spirit of God daily. Finding what God is saying daily. But the Bible says he was seeking a country. So daily he was seeking to know what God is saying. As he was progressing in his walk daily, he was hearing God and seeking what the Lord was saying every day. The Lord tested him. But the test didn't end at that point. In chapter 22, the Bible says God came to him again and said, you know, after the promise had been fulfilled, God had given him a son. God came and said, take your son, your only son. God specified, your only son. And take him to one of the mountains of Moriah and sacrifice him. Abraham didn't ask God, what are you saying? How can you say that?
He didn't say, oh God, you promised that this boy is going to be the promised child. He didn't say, God, no, through this boy, all nations are going to be blessed. He didn't say anything.
Took the boy and went with him to sacrifice him. Didn't question God one time.
Paul calls him the father of the faithful. James calls him the friend of God. If he is the father of the faithful, it means he is the father of our faith. So we want to understand why he deserved that. How come he got that title or that acknowledgement from God? For God to call a man the friend of God, it means a lot. And we need to understand why God called him that. We need to understand why he is the father of the faithful. Because from that we can learn a lot of lessons. He went with the boy, bound him, and put him on the altar. Ready. He was not playing. He was not just trying God like we said today. You know, when God says something, you say, well, maybe God is just trying to see if I'm going to obey. No. He's not just trying. You know, God says, give this to this person. So you are giving, hoping to get it back. Because God is just trying. You see what I'm saying? God said, okay, give this shirt to this brother. You know, I came from a church back home that was, they used to do that a lot. You know, so you say, well, I really don't want to give that shirt to that brother, but I know God is just testing me. Once I accept to give it, God will say, no, leave it. I was just trying to see if you're going to obey. You know, we do that a lot. Abraham didn't do that. He bound the boy, tied him, and was ready to kill him. Because God said so. And let's read why he did that. Hebrews chapter 11. Don't you love the word of God? It's wonderful. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall all thy seed be called. You see, God had promised that in Isaac was the blessing. All the nations are going to be blessed through this boy. And God said, kill the boy. It was a wonderful place for Abraham to ask God that, God, you said that in this boy, all nations are going to be blessed. How come you're telling me to kill him? He didn't say anything. What is the reason? Verse 19. He accounted God that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. You see, he's trusting God that even if I kill him, God can raise him back up whenever he wants to. This man was powerful. His trust in God was strong and steadfast. He was ready to kill the boy because God had said so. Knowing that God had promised that through this boy, the nations would be blessed, because he knew to raise the boy wasn't impossible to God. And while he was about to kill the boy, just imagine that picture. The boy was bound on the altar and Abraham lifted up the knife to kill the boy. And he heard God in between his fist going down and the boy on the altar. He heard God. Like what Brother Kyle said the other day. Imagine that Abraham didn't hear God. While he lifted up his hand. Think about it. It's a few seconds between his hand and killing the boy. Imagine that he didn't hear God. What would have happened?
he would have killed the boy against God's will.
Even though God could have raised him back from the dead, but this was going to be happening after that. People kill their children, say, God said it. You know how human beings are. God said it, even though God didn't say it. So it is vital and critical to hear God. Because Isaac would have died against the will of God if Abraham didn't hear God in few seconds.
He didn't have a day to go pray and fast.
In few seconds he heard God. So don't kill the boy. Oh, you may say God spoke audibly from heaven. The Bible didn't tell us that.
What if he heard God just like you and me can hear God in our hearts?
It is critical to hear the voice of God.
God said, I know that you trust me after that.
Whatever God tells you, do it.
It may not seem wonderful to you. You may have a lot of opposition to that. But if God said it, do it. You agree with that? If God said it, do it. It may seem impossible. It may not seem feasible, but if the Lord said it, do it.
Abraham went not knowing where he was going.
If God said jump, do not ask God to where. Just jump.
Even if you're not seeing where you're jumping, just jump, because God said it.
If you're going this way and God said no, you are going that way. Even if you're going this way, God say, God, I agree. You see what I'm telling you? If you're walking this way and God said no, you are going but this way, say, Lord, I agree. Because He knows what He's saying.
Your trust in God should be that strong.
Jesus said to Peter, go to the river. The first fish you're going to catch, open its mouth, and in it you'll find a coin.
Think about that. Those who do fishing, you find a coin in the mouth of a fish. Peter didn't say, Lord, that's impossible.
He went because the Lord said it. And he caught the fish, and in the mouth of the fish, there was a coin. Because the Lord said it.
They came to Cana of Galilee. And Mary said to Jesus, they are short of wine. And Jesus said, woman, my hour is not come. You know, but Mary said something that is very powerful. She said to the disciples, whatever he said to you, do it. And Jesus asked them to fill all the water pots. Fill them. And he said, draw from them and give to the governor of the feast. They didn't ask him, the Lord, this is water. Then they said, Lord, how can we give him water to drink? Because they knew that it was water they poured in the pots. They knew it wasn't wine. They knew it. The boys knew that it wasn't wine. When Jesus said, draw it out and give it to them. They didn't say, Lord, this is water. They did it because He said it. In the doing was the miracle. In your obeying God, while you're obeying, that is when the miracle happens. It's not believing in your head. While you are obeying, that's when the miracle happens.
Abraham is the father of faith. Let's read Romans chapter 4. I'm just trying to build this so I can say what I want to say briefly. I'm trying to put this together. Romans chapter 4. powerful scripture, portion of scripture, on verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. What is this scripture saying? That God said to Abraham, you're going to be the heir of the world. In other words, the world belongs to you. This is a big thing. The world belongs to you, Abraham. You're the heir of the world. But Paul is saying that God didn't say, he didn't do that, he didn't achieve that or receive that because he did anything, because he believed God. He got that because he believed God. Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Against hope, he believed in hope. In other words, there was nothing that was seemingly possible. Abraham was 100 years old. Or 99 years old. His wife was 90 years old. Think about it. And God was still telling them they're going to have a child. A man of 100 years old. And the woman was 99 years old. 90 years old. They were expecting a child from God because God said it. I want you to really grasp that, because God said it. Not because the circumstances were favorable. Not because all what they had around them looked wonderful. But because God said it. They were still believing. Who said a woman cannot have a child at 50 years old? If God said it to you, all other circumstances don't count. They are canceled if God has spoken to you. That's how you should trust God. If He says it, every other thing don't count. At 100 years old, still expecting a child from God, because God had promised him, he believed God. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen to what the scripture is saying. He was old. In other words, naturally speaking, physically speaking, it was impossible. But listen to how the Bible describes faith in that verse. He considered not his body. What are you considering? That is faith now. He did not consider his body. Even though his body was dead. But he considered what God said. I don't know if you're understanding that. He considered not. He refused to take his body into account. Because God has said the contrary. God is not in any competition with medical doctors, okay? Medical doctors are wonderful. They have a job to do. But God is not competing with them. If God has said something about you, I don't care what they say. What God says will stand. If you want it to. He considered not his own body, being now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's womb was dead. Natural and physically speaking. Abraham said, I'm not going to consider that. Because God has said something contrary to that. This man was powerful. Because he trusted in God.
If God says it, it is possible if you will believe it. There is nothing that can limit God. Nothing. Only you can do it in your own life. God is not scared of any circumstance. You say, oh, I'm getting old. God is not scared of that. You say, look at my condition. Look at my strength. God is not afraid of all of that. If He says it, He can do it. Abraham considered not his own body, being now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. But what did he do? He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He did not shake and be removed from what God has said because of what he was seeing. You know, you can know what the Bible has said, but looking at the circumstances, you're going to shake and doubt. You know that, right? It is easy to do that. You really know what God has said, but looking at the circumstances, you will be shaking and you will doubt and be removed from what God has said. But the Bible says he staggered not. He refused to let doubt take control of him because of what he was seeing. He knew that he was dead in the body, speaking in this regard. But he knew as well what God has said. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, I'm being fully persuaded. That is now really the power of faith. He was fully convinced. You see, at times we believe the Bible. We say, oh, we believe, Lord, we believe. You know, we know that what you've said is true. It's true. And it's going to come to pass. If I ask you now, oh, you believe what God said? You say, yes. But are you fully persuaded that what God has said, despite the circumstances, is going to come to pass? He was fully persuaded that what God has said, he was able also to perform it. So even though Abraham was getting to 100 years old, he was getting to, you know, above 100, he was still persuaded that what God has said, he was able to do it. His age was not the problem. God was able to do it. What has God told you? Or what have you read in the Word concerning your life? And what are the circumstances that are trying to fight that? Abraham was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had said. And listen to what Paul said. Paul said, now, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able to perform it. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. God considered that righteousness. And now, it was not written for his sake alone. Not just for Abraham, but it was for us also who will believe on him that raised the dead. He's saying that this is not just for Abraham. It's for all of us. Not just for Abraham, but for all of us who will believe God in spite of your circumstances. Praise God. This is what I want to say now to us. Genesis chapter 26. Our connection to Abraham. Why we consider him the father of our faith and how connected we are to him. Genesis chapter 26. From verse 1, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. I will be with thee and would bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. What is happening here? Listen to this. There was a great famine in the land. There was hunger. The land was dry. Nothing was happening. There was no fruitfulness in the land. People were dying of hunger. So Isaac was about to escape. He went to the king. Abimelech was Abraham's friend. But at this time, Abraham was dead. And his son Isaac went to the man and said, "Well, I'm about to leave. You see, I'm getting out of here because it is hard to leave. There's nothing to eat. The land don't produce anything. So I'm moving out." And God appeared to him. God said, "Don't go anywhere. Stay in this land." God said, "Don't move. Remain in this land. For in this same land, I'm going to bless you and multiply you in this same land. It's not going to happen to everybody. I'm going to bless you in this same land." Why? This is the reason why I'm saying this. Not because of you, but because of your father Abraham. Because he obeyed my voice. So why was Isaac going to be blessed? Because of Abraham. Because Abraham had walked with God, obeyed God, and kept the covenant of God. God said to Isaac, "I will bless you because of Abraham, your father, because he obeyed my voice." Abraham obeyed my voice. I will bless you because of that. Isaac stayed. He didn't move. He stayed in that land, as the Lord had told him. God would do it because of Abraham. And verse 6 says, "And Isaac dwelt in Gerar." Verse 12, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him." You see what is happening? Everybody is sowing. Everybody is planting. Nothing is happening. Nobody is receiving any harvest. But Isaac is receiving a hundredfold in the year of famine. Why? Because God told him to stay. He remained and obeyed God, and God is blessing him in the midst of all the hunger. Why? Because of Abraham's sake. Because of Abraham's sake. And I'm repeating that for a reason. Verse 13, "And the man was great, and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him." See, even the unbelievers in the land began to envy him. They were jealous of him because he was so great. God had blessed him and he became prosperous in the year of hunger because of Abraham. Because Abraham had kept his covenant with God, obeyed the voice of God. Isaac became great and very great, and all the Philistines envied him. You may be saying to me, "Now, oh, how does that concern me? How does that relate to me? How is that part of our business?" We'll see that in Luke chapter 13. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter number 13 from verse 10. I want to try this. If you can get this, you will understand why Jesus did all what he did. Verse 10, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself." I want you to pay attention here. "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, 'Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, listen to this, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox from the stall and lead him away to watering? Verse 16 is the key. This is what I want you to understand. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, this 18 years been loosed from his bonds on the Sabbath day? What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that this woman, if you get this, this woman had been bound, bent over. She could in no wise lift up her head for 18 years. Can you imagine somebody walking like that for 18 years, cannot even look up, bound by the devil? 18 good years. But she managed to come into the synagogue to worship God. And there is Jesus. No, Jesus had the habit of always coming to the synagogue on the Sabbath days and fellowshipping with the people. At times, he would be given the opportunity to teach. The Bible says it was his custom. This time, he walked in, saw this woman bound by the devil for 18 good years. And Jesus called this woman unto him, commanded the devil to leave. Immediately the woman was made whole. And you see, the ruler, the religious people, said, oh, you're healing on the Sabbath day. Why do you do that? I want you to listen to Jesus' reason for doing it. Jesus asked the man, that this woman, is she not supposed to be healed, being a daughter of Abraham? Oh, I want you to get this so bad. So the reason why Jesus healed this woman was because she was a daughter of Abraham. That tells you the reason for all his miracles that he performed in Israel. Because the people were children of Abraham. So what is that telling you and me? If you are a child of Abraham, it is your right to be set free. It is your right to expect liberty from the enemy. It is your right to be loosed from every bondage. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed? Is she not supposed to be loosed? Jesus is asking the ruler. So if you are a daughter of Abraham, if you are a son of Abraham, are you not supposed to be set free? Are you not supposed to be free from every bondage of the enemy if you are truly a child of Abraham? That is powerful. That is the reason for expecting to be blessed. Because I'm a child of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faith. He is a friend of God. But you say, oh, how am I connected to that? Galatians chapter 3. That's why you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. You see how all this connects. This woman is the daughter of Abraham. So she is not supposed to stay bound. She's supposed to be free and loosed from all her infirmity. Because she's connected to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, talking about you now, they which believe, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You are a child of Abraham, that's what it's saying. Because you have put your faith in Jesus. You believe in Jesus. God had promised Abraham that in thee and in all and in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. And the Bible says, they which be of faith are children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. So the scripture is preaching to Abraham. Preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. This is what Paul is saying here. Very important. He did not say, and to seeds as many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. And then we are in Christ. So if Abraham and his seed are blessed, and we are in Christ, therefore, we have the blessings of Abraham through Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the connection? Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And then we have been saved and we are in Christ Jesus. So all the blessings of Abraham come to us through Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, if you are a child of God, you are a child of Abraham as well. And the scripture says, Jesus said, if you are a child of Abraham, you ought to be free from all your infirmity. You ought to be loosed from all the bandages. Ought not this woman be loosed from her infirmity, being a daughter of Abraham? So if I'm a child of Abraham, what's that telling me? It is my right to be delivered. I'm not begging for it. It is my right to be delivered. Because verse 29 says, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, this is so fine. It's a straight line. If you get it, it is a straight line. The promise is given to Abraham and his seed. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. We are in Jesus. Therefore, we are connected to Abraham. And whosoever is a child of Abraham ought to be liberated and enjoy the blessings of Abraham like Isaac did. God said to Isaac, I'm blessing you for Abraham's sake. You think you can get the blessings of God because of you? You're not getting the blessings of God because of you, but for Abraham's sake. Oh, I wish you would see this. For Abraham's sake. So why do I expect to live in liberty? Why do I expect to live free from the enemy? Why do I expect to live and enjoy the blessings of God? For Abraham's sake. If I've been bound for 18 years, why do I expect to be set free? For Abraham's sake. So you see, faith now has a reason to believe. You see, faith is not just, oh, I'm just trusting God. You are just hoping that one day something is going to happen. And it might never happen. True faith is having a reason to believe. I can believe God now because I know that I'm supposed to be set free because of Abraham and because I'm in Christ. I know it's a little bit hard to get it. But if you can see it, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are a child of Abraham. And then you ought to be set free. You ought to enjoy the blessings. You are not hoping to be blessed. The blessings are yours. they belong to you because of Abraham. That's why I ask if you know that song in the beginning. The song goes like this: Abraham's blessings are mine. You know, we used to sing it when we were kids, but we didn't understand what that was. But after I read this scripture, I understand why the blessings of Abraham belong to me. Because Abraham is a covenant friend of God. He had walked with God, obeyed God. God has said, you and your seed are blessed forever. And you are not just blessed, but you are a blessing to the nations. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he is the seed of Abraham. And then I've accepted Jesus. My life is in him. Immediately, I become a child of Abraham. And all the blessings belong to me. So if I can expect anything from God, it's because of Abraham through Jesus Christ. It's a little bit hard, I understand. But if you get it, a lot of trouble is done away with. Isaac didn't do anything. Isaac didn't do anything by himself. He just obeyed what God has said. And God said to him, I'm blessing you not because of you, Isaac, but for Abraham's sake. I want that to remain in your mind. For Abraham's sake. You know, I expect to live a life of prosperity, not, you know, like prosperity, do well, you know, not suffering in the hands of the enemy, because of Abraham. It is all connected. For Abraham's sake. That's what I said the other day, you are not a victim, but you are a victor. You are above circumstances for Abraham's sake. We have a lot of things disconnected. That's why we're struggling with faith. A lot of things are not together within us. We don't have a lot of things together in our spirits. A lot of things are disconnected. That's why we are struggling to trust God. If you understand, you will not struggle to trust God. You just know it. I know that I'm blessed because of Him. Because the blessings pass from Him to Christ to me, because I'm in Christ. So I'm blessed for His sake. He kept the covenant. He was blessed with His seed. I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm blessed. I expect healing. I expect deliverance. I expect liberty because of Him. So you see, the difference is this. You are not begging to be delivered. You are expecting it because it is yours. You see, it is different when you come to God and you cry and cry. All of that is good. You cry, oh God, do this, oh God, do that, oh God, do that. You say, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. We use that phrase a lot, you know, I'm trusting God. But your faith doesn't have anything to rest on. You're trusting God, but there's nothing you really have on the inside that you're depending, like your faith is resting on. Why do you expect God to heal you? Why? Oh, because God's going to have mercy on me. No. I'm going to cry, God's going to see my tears. Not really. God will pity me. Not really. Why do you expect to be healed? To be set free? To be delivered? Because God is wonderful, He's good. Not really. You see, our faith don't have no foundation. That's what I'm trying to say. So we're struggling to trust because there is nothing we have as a foundation. That's why you trust all the time and you are still struggling to trust. You should have a reason for trusting God. Why do you think God should do that for you? Why? He took our stripes. Why did Christ do all of that? The Gospel of Matthew opens like this. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Because the Jews thought, well, Jesus, you know, those who believed, the Jews who believed, they thought Jesus is, you know, the Messiah is for us. He is a Jew, he belongs to the Jews. But the writer who wrote the Gospel of Matthew wrote to the Jews. And he was careful to say that the son of David and the son of Abraham. Because Abraham is the father of all the faithful of Gentiles and Jews. Telling them that Jesus is not just for the Jews, but for the entire the nations of the world. Even the Gentiles. So you can be blessed or expect anything from God because of Abraham. I'm telling you the truth. For Abraham's sake. I'll repeat this until my time runs out. Because you have to get it. Isaac was blessed in a year of hunger. Everybody else wasn't receiving anything. No harvest. Isaac sowed in the same land, reaped 100-fold, became great, waxed very great, and the Philistines envied him. And you know, at that time you say, oh man, I did it. I'm blessed, I'm proud. You see, everybody else don't have anything, but I'm the only one blessed. God came to him and said, I didn't do it for you. I blessed you because of Abraham. It should remain in your consciousness. The reason why you should expect anything from God, because Abraham is the first person to whom the gospel was preached. The Bible said in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So Abraham was the first person who heard the gospel. And Abraham's seed is Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said Jesus came, he didn't come in the form of angels. He took the seed of Abraham. He took the seed of Abraham. And then we are in Christ. So we are blessed because of Abraham. You have to understand this. God expects you to understand the Bible. Why are you blessed? Why are you expecting healing? Why do you come to the altar to expect anything from God? For Abraham's sake. You have a reason to expect. You are not just begging God. You have a reason to expect something from God. Because of Abraham. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from her infirmity? She is supposed to be loosed. She is supposed to be. Why? Because she is a daughter of Abraham. You are supposed to be loosed because, not because you cried. Jesus didn't say, oh, this woman has suffered for 18 years. Let me just have mercy on her. He didn't say that. He didn't say, okay, now I'm going to prove to the ruler of the synagogue that I have the power to heal. He didn't say that. He didn't say the woman has cried a lot. Let me have mercy and heal her. He didn't say that. He said, because she's a daughter of Abraham. That is the substance of your faith. Faith is a substance of things you're hoping for. There's a substance to it. A reason why you should have faith. Why you should believe. See, it would have been easy for me to take, you know, preach about Isaac, you know, Abraham offering. It's easy to preach that. But to get you to understand the reason why you're connected to this. Abraham is your father, if you're a child of God. He's your father in the faith. Abraham. Even if you don't know him, you never saw him.
He's your father in the faith. And he's the father of the faithful. He's the first to hear the gospel. And because of him, we are blessed. We're not just hoping to be blessed. Not just praying, oh God bless me, oh God bless me, oh God bless me. The Bible says you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed with all blessings in Christ. We've taught ourselves something else. You are blessed with all blessings. So when I come before God, what do I do? Father, thank you because you have blessed me with all blessings. And while I'm expecting this to happen or to manifest because of what Abraham did and all the blessings that have come down to me, therefore I'm expecting it to happen. Your faith is concrete. And you know what you're saying. You're not just crying to God, wailing, which is wonderful, but that's not all about it. There must be a reason why you're trusting God. Have you ever seen him? Do you know God personally, like seen him physically? Why do you trust him? Why? Because of what he has told you in the Word. He has said a lot of things in his Word. You trust him because of what he has said. So until you understand what he has said, you can't really relate with him the way he wants to. You are blessed with the blessings of Abraham. You are. You have the right. If you are sick, you have the right to be healed. Not because you deserve it, but for Abraham's sake. If you are struggling financially, you have the right to be free from that. Because Isaac was free financially. The Bible says he was great in substance. Why? For Abraham's sake. If you're bound by the enemy, you have the right to be free. Not because you are begging the devil. For Abraham's sake. Whatever you're expecting from God, it's not going to be because of you. For Abraham's sake. You must get this principle. You must get it. It is the foundation of our blessings. Because the Bible calls it the promise. Read the entire epistles. They call it the promise. Was given to Abraham. The promise. The promise. Throughout Paul's writings. The promise. What is the promise? All nations shall be blessed through you. That's what God told Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you and thy seed. And Paul said, he didn't say seeds, you know, like many seeds. He said one seed, and the seed is Christ. That is why God put us in Christ, so we should receive the blessings. You now see why you are in Christ? A Christian is not just saved, a Christian is in Christ. Even if you sit here today, you look at yourself, you are in Christ. And God put you in him for a reason, so that you have the right of liberty. I'm in Christ. Christ is the seed of Abraham. Therefore, I'm free. It's that simple. It is that simple. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. See, preaching is wonderful. I said the other day, wonderful, wonderful, stir up your emotions, wonderful, but until you are taught, you'll be a weak Christian.
always needing help all the time. Never knowing what is happening, always doubting, hoping for a preacher to preach a powerful message to help you. Always. Because there is no foundation. No foundation. What you need is understanding of the Word of God. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. You become a terror to the enemy. You will. While I'm saying this to you, he's not happy. Because if you get what I just said, I'll rehearse it again before I round up. But if you get it, I made up my mind not to say a lot of things today for this reason, because I know this is hard to understand. That's why I want to stay only on it, so you get it before I leave. I didn't want to say a lot of things together with this, like yesterday, because you're going to miss this one. This is the key factor. I would have read just that scripture alone for the entire hour, because it's that important. I'll give you a summary of it. Abraham, God came to him. Get this now, this is a summary. Abraham, God came to him, said, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave everything, and go to a land that I will show you. The Bible says he went, not knowing where he was going, but obeyed and believed God has spoken to him. He went, God came to him, after he had a son. God said, sacrifice him. He didn't question God. He believed and left to do it. God told him and said, I will bless you and bless your seed, and you'll be a blessing to all the nations. All nations, including America. Blessing to all the nations of the world is through Abraham. So until you understand your connection with him, you are disconnected somewhere, and you are struggling for the blessings. Are you seeing that? Until you understand your connection to the man to whom God has said, through you shall all nations be blessed. Until you understand your connection with him, you can't perceive the blessings. That's why you struggle to be blessed all the time. Because you haven't understood your connection with that man who has the blessing. And then Paul said, the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. Because he did not come as an angel. Jesus could have come as an angel. He could have come anyhow, because he's God. But Paul said he took the nature, the seed of Abraham. Otherwise, he came like one of us. So he is the seed of Abraham. So he is blessed with Abraham, because he is the son of Abraham. And then God said, okay, how am I going to get these people to be connected to that blessing? I'll put them in Christ. So that in Christ, they will partake of that blessing. So now I'm in Christ, I become a seed of Abraham. So for Abraham's sake, I expect deliverance. I expect liberty. I expect freedom. I can't be in bondage to the enemy, because I'm blessed with Abraham. That's the connection. That's the entire Bible. That's how people died and went to the bosom of Abraham, because he's the father of the faith. Have you read that in the Bible? The bosom of Abraham. Why not of Moses? Or Joshua? Abraham is the father of the faithful. Until you know him, your connection with him, you are disconnected from the blessing. You'll be struggling for it. The woman in the temple would have never been set free. And the only reason why Jesus delivered her, because she is the daughter of Abraham. And that's the only reason why Jesus would do it for you. Because you are a child of Abraham. You belong in that same blessing. And you should expect it. Knowing that I'm expecting this
because of Abraham's sake. I have the right to expect to be blessed. So if you're coming to the altar tonight to expect anything from God, what is the reason? For Abraham's sake. It is not trying. It's going to happen because of him. You're not just hoping. You're expecting. For Abraham's sake. If I have time, I can take 1 hour more to say just the same thing over and over and over and over. Because I know how important it is. Until you grasp it, you're in trouble. Paul, the great apostle, called him the father of the faithful. Because he understood the connection. If he knew that song, we would have sang it before we leave this place. Because it's that important to me. Abraham's blessings are mine. That one scripture is powerful. I'm bent over. Why should I be healed? Abraham's sake. My faith has a reason. I have a reason to believe. For Abraham's sake. Whatever you need, according to the word of God, how are you going to get it? For Abraham's sake. Abraham's sake. I'm a seed of Abraham. I belong to that blessing. I'm telling you, read your Bible. Read it, read it, read it. Read it. Study it. Take it wherever you go. Buy a little one. Travel with it. You're flying, read it in the plane. I was working somewhere, I had the small Bible like that. The small one. When I have a little bit of space, I read a verse. And while I'm walking, I'm rehearsing the verse in my mind. So the entire day, my mind is filled with the Word of God. And the more you rehearse the Word of God in your mind, God is speaking to you. It is opening up. So at the end of that, I'm coming home. I'm just waiting to get home to pray. See, I'm expecting to go home because I want to pray. Because God has been speaking to me throughout the day. It becomes easy for you to understand Scripture. I'm walking in the office and I'll turn, nobody's looking at me, I'll take out the little Bible and read a little bit, read it and memorize that portion and keep it in my mind. While I'm walking, I'm rehearsing over and over. God is, my spirit is growing. I'm getting stronger. I can take the blessings of God easily because my spirit is strong in the Word of God. Read it. Study it, meditate on it, pray with it. Your life will change tremendously. Permanently. And you go from glory to glory. From faith to faith. I look at your faces this morning, everybody's wondering if they have understood this or not. But I wish you do. I wish you do. If I could preach only this, or teach only the entire week, I would do it. That's how important it is. I'm serious about it. Just this, I would do it. Because if you get that connection, it is settled. It is settled. For Abraham's sake, stand on your feet.